Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week, U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr criticized the Department of Justice's report on the FBI investigation of Russian interference into Donald Trump's campaign back in 2016. He called the reasons for the investigation flimsy and baseless. Barr's actions over the last few months have been troubling to some, most recently former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, who says Barr is unfit to hold his office. Holder made this scathing rebuke today in a Washington Post op-ed, calling Barr's actions, quote, so nakedly partisan and so deeply inappropriate that Barr sounds more like an unscrupulous criminal defense lawyer than a U.S. Attorney General. We wanted to take a deeper look at Barr and his role as the nation's chief prosecutor. And to do that, we're joined by Andrew Rice, contributing editor at New York Magazine. His recent article about Barr is titled Trump's Other Lawyer. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. So in former Attorney General Eric Holder's op-ed, he seemed to be most bothered by a speech Barr made at a Federalist Society event last month where Barr made the case for greater presidential power, essentially something called unitary executive theory. You've also written about the significance of that speech at that event. Can you explain what unitary executive theory actually means?
Yeah, so I was actually at that speech, and it was quite a remarkable event. And in that speech, Barr laid out this really incredibly sweeping vision of what presidential power should be. And basically what he says is that the executive powers vested in the executive branch by the Constitution, that the president himself as an individual kind of has illimitable power over those executive branch functions, which is to say, you know, in the most pertinent case that we're talking about here, that it reaches in even to law enforcement where, you know, the president personally can oversee investigations into his own White House.
Let's talk a little bit more about Barr's beliefs on this. He came back to working in government after nearly 30 years, and you write that he says his objective is to restore order. I'm curious, though, did he embrace this idea of unitary executive theory back when he was attorney general during George H.W. Bush's administration?
Yes. In fact, it's been sort of a lifelong project of Barr's. I mean, one of the points that I tried to make in the article is that while, you know, many people in Washington have seen Barr's emergence as a full-throated partisan defender of the president as kind of coming out of nowhere because he was this, you know, respected former attorney general. He had been attorney general once before. You know, really it was grew out of something that he's been arguing for really his entire career in public life, which is that the president should have more power. He came into Washington and 1973, starting off at the CIA, actually, as an analyst and lawyer there. And he really sees the Watergate era reforms coming out of Nixon's abuses of office as a kind of constitutional wrong turn. And so he's really spent his entire career trying to roll them back. And he's not been alone in that, I should mention. You know, other people who talked about this similar sort of vision of executive power include people like Dick Cheney and the advisors surrounding him during the Bush administration. Probably the intellectual godfather of the unitary executive theory is Antonin Scalia. A lot of it grows out of a dissent, actually, he wrote in a somewhat obscure case in the 1980s involving the Independent Counsel statute.
You brought up Cheney and some of the others, but I'm just curious, and of course President Trump is a supporter of this idea. But there are other groups, checks and balances, which you write about, made up of conservative lawyers and scholars who oppose Trump, says Barr's views are contrary to the Constitution. I'm wondering, is this a popular view among other conservative Republicans?
Well, I mean, I think we need to make a distinguish between the broader Republican Party leadership, which is mainly focused, I think it's fair to say, on winning elections, and this sort of Republican legal establishment that Barr is very much a part of. Within that Republican legal establishment, the smaller group, Barr's views are quite controversial. I mean, Checks and Balances is a group of people, many of whom served with Barr during the first Bush administration in the Justice Department. and many of them have come out and quite vociferously attacked his view as being, you know, they even use the word, you know, authoritarian or autocratic to describe what he's talking about.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about what Holder said today, the significance of this op-ed and those statements that he's made?
I have actually two thoughts about it. I mean, first thought is that, you know, it is a pretty astounding critique to see a former attorney general write about his successor in such plain terms and to attack him in the way that Holder did. And I have to say that the op-ed did make a bracing case against Barr. One thing that I think has been less noted is that there is a paragraph in there that is sort of addressed directly to John Durham, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut who's conducting the so-called investigation of the investigation. It's a criminal investigation into the origins of the Russia probe during the 2016 campaign. But what is most interesting is that Holder said something like, reputations are fragile, really directed right towards John Durham, with whom he had worked previously. He has a whole history of having worked with him during the Obama administration. I thought that was interesting because I think he's clearly trying to make an appeal to this prosecutor that he knows to kind of hew towards his vision of how the Justice Department should operate.
Let's talk a little bit about the events leading up to the impeachment inquiry and Barr's role. So during that July 25th phone call between Trump and the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, the call that actually launched the impeachment investigation, Trump told Zelensky to work with Barr and with Rudy Giuliani to investigate Joe Biden and his son, Hunter. What did Barr tell you about that? And is he or was he involved in this whole Ukraine thing?
He basically reiterated what the Justice Department said publicly in the immediate aftermath of the release of that call transcript, which is that he had had no contact with Ukraine, that he had never been asked to investigate anything with regard to Joe Biden. That said, I think what is interesting about it is that it shows Donald Trump's frame of mind, which is that he basically, you know, equates Rudy Giuliani and Bill Barr as a kind of team in his mind. You know, he basically mentions them in the same breath. And I think that's a very shocking thing to realize. I mean, maybe it says more about Donald Trump than it says about Bill Barr. I think Bill Barr would reject that characterization that he is acting as Donald Trump's personal attorney in any form or fashion. But the fact that the president of the United States views his attorney general that way and would sort of presume that he could get him involved in the rest of the stuff that he was doing in Ukraine, I think says something.
How much is he involved in the impeachment inquiry and the White House's response? We know that he declined to do a press conference that Trump asked him to hold to announce that Trump hadn't broken any laws. But I'm just curious.
Well, he's been very, 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 very good, I guess, about keeping himself out of the impeachment Ukraine stuff. And when I say good, I mean skillful at it. There was some interesting stuff that happened in the Justice Department prior to the whistleblower complaint coming out. Basically, when the whistleblower complaint came in, caused this huge kerfuffle in the White House, and you know, they tried to figure out what to do with it and if they had to turn it over to Congress. And basically, they asked this office within the Justice Department called the Office of Legal Counsel, which, historical note, Bill Barr used to head. That's like kind of where his original kind of experience in the Justice Department comes from, is from this Office of Legal Counsel, which is kind of like the Justice Department's internal law firm. So the Justice Department's internal law firm took a look at this complaint and said, you know what, actually, you don't have to turn it over to Congress because this is not a valid whistleblower complaint because this is from a member of the intelligence community, and the president is not a member of the intelligence community. Therefore, he is not covered by the whistleblower statute, which is, you know, of course, a mm-hmm. completely self-serving interpretation of that law. Of course, it all eventually did leak out, but the Justice Department's fingerprints were on that. Since yeah. that happened, they've been very quiet. They are not mm-hmm. involved, and they're trying yeah. to stay out of it.
You know, Trump has a track record of turning on people. I'm thinking about former Attorney General Jeff Sessions. What can you tell us with the few moments we have about Barr's relationship with Trump right now?
Well, you know, the president's relationships with any of his cabinet members, you know, are a mystery to anyone outside of them. So it's hard to know exactly what's going on in the relationship. But if we know one thing about Donald Trump, it's that he's a lifelong consumer of legal services. And Barr has been very effective as a lawyer, maybe not his lawyer, but as a lawyer. He's served the president's interests in a variety of ways. But we also know that, like, the president's appreciation for those sorts of services can, you know, is only as good as his mood in any given day. It will be interesting to see, you know, there's a phenomenon where I think it's fair to say, as members of the administration have become sort of recognized as power players in their own right, oftentimes the president reacts negatively to that. And, you know, he doesn't like anyone stealing his sunshine. So we'll see where it goes with Bill Barr. That dynamic will be an interesting one to watch for sure.
Andrew Rice is a contributing editor at New York Magazine. His article, Trump's Other Lawyer, about Attorney General William Barr, is in the December 9th issue of New York Magazine. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.